So this is a little bit unique. I don't ever really stand behind the podium when I preach on Sundays, but I'm going to do it this Sunday. We have just an extraordinary opportunity every year in the Solemnity of Pentecost. There is nothing quite like this Sunday, and I suppose that could be said of really every Sunday of the year, but in particular, the Sunday of Pentecost is a Sunday for all of us. It's a celebration of the entire universal church because it was the day on which God's promised gift came to dispel all darkness in the hearts of his apostles so that they would be empowered with something above their own ability in order to go forth and complete the mission that God gave to them. God gives a mission. We recall that on Pentecost each year, that we don't sit here as Christians as passive human beings in our faith. We don't come simply just to receive. We do come to receive, but not for no purpose, just to do nothing with it. We come to receive because we have been given a gift to give others that they must also receive. And on Pentecost, of all Sundays of the year, this is a particular moment where I truly believe that Jesus invites us to receive that gift, to be renewed in the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And so what I'd like to do today is to lead us in a kind of imaginative meditation of what we heard in the first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, so that we as Christians might truly be able to place ourselves there in that moment. The Pentecost moment was a moment that happened in history, but it was not only for that moment. You and I as Christians are actually meant to enter into that truly, really, so that we too can receive from God what God gave to the apostles. I believe that the Lord wants to do that. I believe on Pentecost, he especially wants to do that. And so as I lead us this day in a reflection on the gospel, we kind of do this very familiar arc in Christian prayer, where we begin with something called meditation, and it leads us towards something called contemplation. Meditation is what we do in prayer because we are human. And as humans, it means we're incarnate. We're not only spirits, but we're bodies. We are enfleshed spirits, ensouled bodies. And so that means that when God reaches us, he reaches us firstly, on the level of our senses, our exterior senses and our interior senses. And we're meant to use those faculties in our prayer so that God's grace can move in us in a way that we can, so to speak, we can tell. And from that experience of God coming to us in our humanity, God then takes that and lifts that up into something truly supernatural, which is called contemplation. And contemplation is this simple union that we have with God where God speaks to our heart with words deeper than human words, with an understanding that we can't describe, but which we know with utter certainty in our hearts is present. This is how Christian prayer is meant to move. It's meant to begin with what is around us, and using that as a springboard, God then, in his goodness and his grace, helps us to transcend what is seen, so that we can enter into truly what is unseen. So as we take this time to hear again the Pentecost story, I'm going to invite us to hear this story as if it is a memory in our own imagination. And so what I'll invite us to do actually at this time is to just simply close your eyes. Now, I'm fully aware that some of you may get sleepy during my homily. And if that happens, you're not going to offend me. It's okay. So doing something like closing our eyes actually helps us enter into prayer because it takes away some of the senses in order to heighten the other of the senses. And if you're so willing, I'll invite you as well to simply place your hands palms up on your lap. Just a simple posture of receptivity. As I begin to pray this meditation, what I'm going to invite you to do, you can do this as a whisper, or you can do this silently in your heart. As it moves you, I simply want you to pray, "Come Holy Spirit." Because this is a moment of prayer that you are entering into. And as you close your eyes, and as you open your hands, God is here to meet you right now. God wants to show you something of Pentecost right now. And if you ask God to receive that, I promise you he will give to you. And so we have only to enter into this moment. And so we even hear now this story begin to unfold in a way that helps us to sort of walk away from this present moment, and there's no one beside you here. It's you, it's the Lord. It's God's voice speaking through your ears in this moment into your heart. As he brings to you this experience of Pentecost. Early in the morning, you leave your humble home and you walk outside into this kind of crisp air that has an edge to it. It's totally silent. As you walk down the stony streets of Jerusalem, the sound of your feet it's like it's heightened. The air is crisp, the sound is crisp, like that beautiful springtime morning where all is totally still. And it's this overcast morning. As you look up into the sky, you see clouds that are these deep blues and purples. And as you look towards the horizon, it sort of fades beautifully into this warm pink. There's something special about this morning. You've been waiting for a long time. And you can't help but reflect upon what has brought you to this moment. As you make your way silently through the streets, you're searching for this doorway that's off the main road in this small corner. It's a nondescript door, but it's so familiar to you because it leads you, you know that you will come to this place that you've been before. It's called the Cenacle. You're going there this morning to meet with your brothers and your sisters. You are there to pray because you've been in this time of waiting and expectation. And for the last week and a half, there's been this joy in your heart, this anticipation in your heart that you can't quite describe, that brings you this desire that needs to spill over into something that fulfills it. This is the day, you think. You turn the corner off the main road and you walk and you see this door in the corner. Old, dusty, worn. And as you walk into that door, you turn your head to the right and you see this single flash of liquid fire that peaks over the horizon in the first ray of dawn. This golden hue that lights the underside of all the clouds that immediately go from blues and purples into this orange and golden pink. As you step inside this door, you walk slowly upstairs, and the whole place is just pregnant with anticipation. Because you think, as you walk into this upper room, how much has happened in the last 7 weeks of your life? With such a different expectation, how strange to find yourself here. It was in this very place, even as you close your eyes and you look at this room around you, you see the moments as they occurred, and your thoughts take you immediately to that night when Jesus met you here. And as he met you here, there was something so calm in his eyes. He wanted dinner with you. And he spoke to you that night with such humility as he knelt down on his own knees and with his own hands he washed your feet. And he shared bread with you. And he began to speak to you in a way that you've never heard him speak before. And he began to pray to his Father in a way that you had never heard him pray before. And that was a night that you thought was full of great hope. You thought perhaps that Jesus was finally this man before you who had come to fulfill his Father's design. And yet, that expectation of hope was also filled with great anxiety. There was so much yet that you didn't yet understand. And this man whose eyes spoke so gently of his heart were sad. And he said that he loved you so much that he was going to show you how deep that love was. And you didn't quite know in that moment what that was going to mean, but as he led you out from this cenacle, you recall that moment soon after where he took you down into the garden to pray. It was misty and cool that night. And somehow you knew that there was something not right. That as he prayed, he wept. His heart was full of grief, and as it was filled with grief, so also your heart. This mysterious grief that you didn't understand. He knew what was happening in that moment, but you didn't yet know. And so you turned around and you look and you see this band of soldiers with clubs and torches. And these religious leaders who were the ones who were supposed to lead you. They were supposed to pray for you. They were supposed to guide you to heaven. And here they are to betray everything that you've ever known that is good in this man. In that moment, you see them take your Lord. And it is as if all hell broke loose. Utter and sheer terror overtook you in that moment. You didn't understand what was happening. Here it is. You watch this man for 3 years speak words of life and healing into human hearts. And now he's being let off in chains. That wasn't even the worst horror that was awaiting you. It was not even the next day. The next morning that he took his cross and was crucified, he died. There was nothing in your heart to keep you alive that day. If it were not for the grace of God, you were utterly empty. And so you retreated back to this room in which you now stand. You look around at the brothers and sisters that have gathered with you, and you see a similar expression on their own faces. You look into the wrinkles that follow their eyes down their cheeks. Those are wrinkles of human experience, of joys, but especially of pains and sorrows that run so deeply in our hearts. Days and eternity it seemed that you spent in that room in great fear until that fateful morning when Jesus stood before you glowing again. It was utter shock that filled your heart. And there was something so deep. It was this hope, deeper than hope, deeper than hope, that said, Lord, is this the end? And Jesus came before you and he stood before you and he said, I proclaim my peace to you. And do you understand? I am not a ghost. I am a man before you who stands with his wounds to prove to you that death has no hold over me. It was the beginning of something very different. This disbelief that couldn't see what it was clearly seeing before it. And so you wanted to smile and you wanted to rejoice, but you didn't know how because you were so crushed. You were so afraid still in that moment that this couldn't be. It was too good to be true. But this good Jesus, this gentle, humble Lord, he stayed with you for 40 days more. And he continued to meet you and to speak to you words of life And Jesus began to proclaim to you, I am sending you on the very mission for which I was sent. There are many things that you must hear. And I will prepare your heart to hear those things so that when the time is right, you will know that I am trustworthy. I make promises to you that I will always keep. Jesus took you up that ascension hill not even a week and a half ago, and he said to you, wait for me, wait for me. I will send the promise of my Spirit upon you. And as you pray for that Spirit, my Father will hear your hearts, and he will not fail you, as he has never failed me. The joy, the anticipation has risen, and you know that on this morning, in the secrecy of this holy room, that you begin to pray as brothers and sisters in accord, and anticipation rises in your heart. Almost as if this electricity is thick in the air. As you pray, God begins to speak. And something begins to change as you look around this room. You hear the sound of this great rushing wind. That though this room is secure, God's breath is coming upon this place. The anticipation in your heart, it peaks in this moment that God's light sheds its ray upon you. And just for a moment, time stops and you're in this eternal embrace with God. You look around and your brothers, your sisters, they are glowing embers that are on fire. Their skin looks liquid like silk, and it glows with light. And in this moment, you see the soul in its beauty before God. And you see your own soul in its beauty before God. And as God pours his Spirit within you, God goes to all of those places of confusion and brokenness. God goes to all of the suffering. God sheds light and makes whole all that is wounded within you. And you almost as if feel your body being lifted from the earth in weightlessness. In this moment, there is no pain, but joy alone. Is no confusion, but God's understanding pure. The Spirit gives you the gift of divine life. And every breath that you take is a deeper drink. God's Spirit invades your body as if you even feel his presence come upon your shoulders and take your hand. And you hear the Spirit speak, I am here. I am trustworthy. I fill you with all understanding, so that you may know who you are and why you are here. It is a communication deeper than human words that you respond to so spontaneously, so that you speak forth the mighty deeds of God with sounds that you've never made. That your brothers and sisters do the same. That God's presence fills this room. And fills every heart. Hearts that exalt the Lord God. In new languages. Is the Spirit groans, the Spirit speaks. This moment of Pentecost is for you. And it's for the world. And you are meant to be wrapped up into this moment of communion that God speaks to you directly. If you ask Him, all those places in your heart that God sees more deeply than you see them, so that you may know the truth, that God is trustworthy, and that God is the fulfillment of all your desire. And every time you pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," God answers you without fail, immediately. And God gives you to pray in a way that you cannot pray on your own. God makes perfect the good efforts that we make with His supernatural, superabundant love. In this moment here, we ask for that. To be covered in God's holy embrace. To pray in a way that we've never prayed. To live in a way that we've never lived. To be sent in a way that we've never believed possible. This is Pentecost. This is your moment with God Almighty, who in this moment sends His Spirit of love upon you. And all you must do is ask for more. And He will not fail you. But in the name of His own Son, Jesus, He will give you the gift of His Spirit and fill you to your own completion.